When you enter into a crisis in your life, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Maybe, does God care about me? God, where are you? Why did you allow this to happen to my life? Why are you allowing this to go on? You're in some tremendous situation right now in your life, and you're wondering, God, you said you saved me. I placed my faith in you, and I invited you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Where are you in the middle of this crisis that I'm in? Why is it that it seems like you have not shown up? You know, there are all sorts of crises that people get in life. Sometimes we can get in crisis of our own doing. That is, because of sin and disobedience, we violated the principles of Scripture and the Word of God, and we find ourselves in one mess after another. But it's another thing to walk with God, try to obey Him, do the best that you know how, and for some reason or the other, you find yourself in the middle of a crisis. It's something you didn't ask for. You're just trying to do what is right. You're trying to do what is the wise thing and the right thing, and yet right in the middle of your situation, you are in a crisis. You don't understand why God would have allowed you to enter into this time of crisis in your life. And you see, there are a lot of wonderful people who have some misconceptions and misunderstandings whenever crisis comes. You know, all throughout the pages of Scripture, God speaks to you and me in every need and every phase of our lives. And if you'll look carefully on the pages of Scripture, God speaks a great deal about crisis, and He guides us whenever there are crises in our lives. And so if you'll turn to the book of Exodus chapter 14, I want to deal with in this message when crisis comes. And we're going to be looking at crisis for the next few weeks, because there is definitely a reason behind the crisis that you and I face in life. So if you're in a crisis, if you have a friend that's in a crisis, let me encourage you to invite them to come. They might not be attending church anywhere. They may just be, just encourage them, because God has something to say to your life whenever there is a crisis in your life. In the book of Exodus chapter 14, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahairoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. But Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his other servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Israel, and captain over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea, besides Pahairoth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left. When you read this story, you see the children of Israel, how God has provided for them. But here's what God says in Scripture. In Psalms chapter 33, 11 in the Living Bible, I love the way it says, the Bible says, God's intentions are the same for every generation. You may find yourself in a crisis this morning, some crisis you had no idea of. You know, the reality of life is this. One of the things that you and I don't want to face is this. There are crises in life that we just don't want to own up to and we don't want to face. A person is on their way to the grocery store, and suddenly, without their realizing it, they're hit, and they find themselves in the emergency room, and they find themselves in a situation. Maybe they're fighting for their life, all because they went for a loaf of bread and maybe a gallon of milk at the grocery store. And you go to a doctor, and as you go to the doctor, you're in good shape, you're in good physical health, and for some reason or the other, as you listen to the doctor, he says something to you, and he says, there's something going on I don't understand, and one thing becomes another, and one thing becomes another, and you find yourself in a full-blown crisis. Or you've experienced tragedy in your life, you've experienced a crisis in your life in a very personal way, and maybe it's been recent. You know, one of the hard things that we don't want to own up to sometimes that crises are going to come. We don't want to own up to the fact that no matter what you do, no matter how you walk, no matter what happens in life, there are going to be those crises that God permissively allows you to come into contact with and you face. It doesn't matter who you are. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a reality about crisis. There is something that happens in our life, though, when we're in a crisis. And the children of Israel, they found themselves in one tremendous crisis. You know the story. You've read the story. You've heard it many, many times. And yet they find themselves in the middle of a crisis. They don't have any idea where to go. They don't know what to do. They literally are beside themselves. And you hear the panic in their voices when they talk to Moses and they say, "Have you literally brought us here to die?" In other words, Moses, there is no way we're going to get out of this crisis. We are literally trapped. There is no way under heaven that we're going to get out of this crisis. You know, you look all throughout the pages of Scripture and you can find one individual after another had crisis after crisis. Because God wants you and me to understand that crises are not a new thing. You know, crises have been all the way back to the Old Testament and the passage I've just read, but even before then, you remember young Joseph at the age of 17. He was taken by his brothers, and he found himself immediately in a crisis when they threw him in a pit and they wanted him to die, and they literally left him there, or they thought they would, to die, but they decided to finally sell him. He found himself in a crisis. In Abraham's life, in Genesis 22, when he was on the when he was called by God, he was told by God, if you're going to follow me in obedience, here's a crisis you're going to be in. I'm telling you to sacrifice your son unto me. Now, Abraham had to decide one of two things. I will obey God, and there is a crisis in my soul, or I'm going to disobey. But the reality was there was a crisis. There was a crisis not only in Joseph's life, not only in Abraham's life, but you know, you look all throughout Scripture. And here in this 14th chapter, the children of Israel, probably an army of around 2 million people or so, they're walking through the wilderness, and they've got a leader by the name of Moses. They've just come out of Egyptian bondage. They've seen plagues that have come to the land and heard of them. Moses had told them about them. And yet when they're in the middle of the crisis and they're at the edge, they don't know what to do. They have no idea what lies ahead. You see, one of the things about God is this. I want you to listen to me very carefully. God sometimes creates your crisis. I want you to look back at one verse very carefully in this passage because I want you to notice three words. In verse 2, I want you to listen very carefully. God's giving Moses instructions about where to take the children, and he says, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. In other words, he says, I am going to lead you into a situation and you are going to find yourself right in the middle of a crisis. You say, but why would God allow me a situation in my life that would create a crisis? Well, hold on. We'll get to that in just a moment. But please understand, God Almighty has never forgotten you and never will forget you, but understand the ways of God are not our ways. The mind of God is not your mind. The Bible says He is above our ways. He's beyond our ways. His ways are not our ways. You see, we automatically think if God loves me and God cares for me, then He will save me from crisis. That is always not the way God does it. As a matter of fact, if you will look at God carefully throughout the pages of Scripture, it's not from crisis oftentimes that He saves His servants. You remember back in the life of Daniel. Daniel was in a crisis. He was going to serve the living God, but here was the crisis. If you're going to serve that God, then you know you're going to end up in a fiery furnace. And you know the story, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, here they were, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Book of Daniel, these three Hebrew children were thrown right into the fiery furnace because they served the living God. And you see, there are times in your life and my life that God creates your crisis. You say, now wait just a minute. If God loves me, why does He do it? Hold on. Because you see, if you don't understand that, then you will miss the rest of the story. We always look at the story of the parting of the sea. We look at the story where God spread the waters out. But do you realize that God created the crisis? God created the circumstances. It was God that said, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to get me honor this day. In other words, you are going to find, you're going to see, you will know today that I am the living God. I will fight for you. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget the ways of God and the nature of God. And you see, you know, you look in the life of Scripture and you find even Job. He had a crisis and God even permitted his crisis. God is the one that said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him in all the world. And Satan says, yes, but you put a hedge around him. You take everything away and he'll curse you. And the Bible says, here was Satan. He touched everything that he had and he didn't sin. Now listen very carefully. One of the things that we think in the Christian life is this. God loves me, He saved me, and He's not going to allow me to go through any crisis. And if I get into a crisis, what is wrong with me or what's going on? Listen to me very carefully. You do not know God better until you walk through a crisis. There is something about a crisis that you learn more about God in that moment, because here's the reality of God. God don't want you just to read a few verses of scripture and to get on your knees and pray and then come to church. God wants you to experience him. And one of the ways that you experience him is when he allows you a crisis and he miraculously, marvelously intervenes just for you. You see, one of the things the children of Israel never thought, never dreamed, they never dreamed that God would fight for them. One of the realities of our complex and our humanity is this. We talk about being saved, and we are saved by the grace of God for all who know Jesus Christ. But let me ask you a question. I want you to listen. If I could talk to every one of you one by one, as you walk with God, do you believe God would fight for you? Do you believe God would move heaven and earth just for you? You see, you can't really praise God like you ought to praise him until you realize that God has done some things. And that's what God wanted these children of Israel to understand. He didn't want them to sing empty songs and pray empty prayers. He wanted them to see firsthand what he would do, how he would move, simply because he loved them. You say, well, what do I have to do for God to move doors for me and to open doors and to guide me and to help me and come to my rescue in my crisis? You just walk obediently with God. You just follow God. You just be faithful to God, and you watch what God does. You see, in the life of Moses, one of the things that you and I need to understand, crisis comes with God's predetermined knowledge. You see, God says, I'm going to cause all these things to happen. Our way of thinking and our human mind and our Gentile mind is, well, you know what? They got in this situation and God came to their rescue. No, that's not true. Now, I want you to listen. I want to say it very carefully. That is not what happened in the Bible. They were not in a situation and God did not come to their rescue. God created the circumstances where they were beside the Red Sea and they didn't know what to do. You see, it's one thing when you're in a situation, but when realize, God, you mean you've orchestrated? And see, you may be saying right now in your own heart, you mean God has orchestrated my circumstances? God has orchestrated my crisis? You mean as I'm trying to walk with God and follow God, that God has orchestrated my crisis? Let me ask you this. Who is the God over all crisis? Our holy God, Almighty God. Almighty means there is nothing apart from him that he doesn't know. He is sovereign. And you see, one of the things that happens in your life and my life is when we get into a crisis, we think, God, you may not have known this. I just need to tell you about this. I need you to come to my rescue. That's not the case. I love Psalms 139. From time to time, I go back and I read it. And I love the verse that says, Lord, you know my down sittings and my uprisings. That's how it's written in the King James Version. But you know what that really means? In our human, everyday language, Lord, you know every time I sit down, you know every time I stand up. Now, if he knows that, how can you get in a crisis without God? How can you get in a crisis without Almighty God knowing that you're there? Listen to what, here's what God said in verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Do you realize what God said? Pharaoh's going to say, you know what? They don't have an escape route. They don't have an escape. They don't have any way out. They don't have any rescue. And we're going to kill them. Or we're going to take them back. They're either going to die or they're going to come back. Listen to me very carefully. How big is your God? How big is the God that saved your soul? God said to Moses, he said, I will show to the children of Israel this day, they don't have to move a finger, they don't have to do anything. I will fight for them, for they will know that I am the Lord God. And you see, sometimes we try to beg and plead and get God to do all sorts of things. And we say, Lord God, I'm in this crisis. And I'm not going to do anything but pray and watch you, and I'm just going to let you be God. You say, now wait just a minute. You've got to do some things in the middle of a crisis. Read carefully. Now follow along with me. Look in chapter 14. I want you to watch. Look in verse 14. Let's read this verse out loud. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You know what that means? Exactly what it says. Listen, God is going to fight for you. Listen, if I have to manipulate in my crisis, if I have to try to get out of my crisis, if I have to, then my God is not that big. But here's what God says. I want you to know me afresh today, and you're going to know me in a new way. You're going to know me in a different way than you have ever experienced me before, because you're not just going to read about, you're going to watch as Almighty Jehovah God opens the sea up, and there is a wall on right hand, wall on the left hand, and the Bible says they went through on dry ground because the wind drew the ground up, and yet you had water on each side. And as they walked through, here went the children of Israel. Listen, who in the world could do that but God? God didn't tell the children of Israel, now you've got to be perfect. You've got, now every one of you, if you've got some sin in your life, listen to me very carefully. Does God love you unconditionally? Yes. And you say, well, you know, what if I put myself in this crisis? Be willing to pay the price and say, Lord God, I accept whatever penalty that comes. But Lord God, I turn back to you. I turn to you. And what God showed his people was this. I want you to understand I love you. Listen carefully. One of the things the children of Israel knew, they knew God was almighty. They knew God was, but let me ask you something. If somebody saved your human life, what would you know about that person? You would know that person loved you. You would know that person saved you from death. Here's what God said. I want them to know today that I love them. I want them to understand. And he saved them from death. And they look, and they never had before. I'm sure they would remember till their dying day. Now they wandered and they forgot and they floundered around like we all do. But they realized that God put them there because, listen, what if there had never been a Red Sea? What would you not know about God? What would you not know about Almighty God? Listen, when you get in your Red Sea experiences and you don't have any rescue, sometimes you just have to stand back and see the salvation of God. I never will forget one time in a church situation. I was in between pastorates, and I'd been preaching for one church, and I really sensed the Lord was wanting me to be there. That was long before I came to faith and years ago. And I went to preach, and I just felt like somehow that they were going to miss the boat. And I was really burdened because I knew in my heart that that's where God wanted me. I knew that. And I went out and was talking to my mother and father-in-law, and my mother-in-law just simply said this. She said, you know, I just feel like I need to tell you this. Stand back and see the salvation of God. I knew what that meant. And a couple weeks went by, and eventually, that pulpit committee called me and said, Brother Benny, would you come? We'd like to talk to you. And I realized that God had moved in a situation just for his servant. Now, listen to me very carefully. When your crisis comes, it's very real to you. Amen? It is real to you. It is personal to you. You can say, well, now you know what? You just don't understand why. Listen. You're trying to walk in obedience. You just remember the principles in the Red Sea. Listen, God loves to put his people in situations whereby only he can rescue. Now, let me ask you a question. When they were in this crisis, only who could rescue them? Tell me. God. Let me ask you a question. When you're in a crisis and nobody else can get you, help you, or anything else, you don't know any other recourse, and you say, you know what? Only God can help me. Don't you think that he's allowed that? Yes, he has. Listen, here's what God said. I'm going to let it be known today. He even gave the time frame. He said, it's going to happen today. It's going to happen today that they're going to know that I am the Lord God. And as he saved Israel, he buried everyone in the Egyptian army. He put them all under the water, all the chariots, every man, every person. And he said this. He said, you will never see them again. He didn't just say that. He said, you'll never see them again forever. I, the Lord God, will fight for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think it's wonderful enough that may be hard, may be a struggle, but Lord God, if it means me seeing you at work and watching you at work, I am willing to go through a crisis. I'm willing to go through it because I want to watch how you come to my rescue. Listen to me very carefully. We forget one characteristic of God, that he loves us. He loves to run to our rescue. He loves to provide. He loves to minister. And you see what happens? Maybe a person loses his job and they get scared to death. And they think, oh, I'm going to lose everything. You're trying to walk obediently to God. You're trying to be faithful. And you're a part of faithful worship. And you do what God says with your finances. In other words, you tithe. You do what God says. And you think, am I going to lose everything? Listen, all you have to do is just stand back and watch the salvation of God. Listen to what David said as he's getting old. David, that wonderful king, he said, I've been a young man, but I'm an old man now. He said, this I've never seen. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God abandon them. I've never seen God not come to the rescue. I've never seen it. I've seen a lot of things, probably David could say, but I have never seen the God that created me, that loved me, not come to our rescue. And that's exactly one of the things that happens whenever we get in a situation, whenever we get in a crisis. And you see, the thing about it is, when these children of Israel were in a crisis, here's one thing that God knew. You know, he knew where they were. And the thing about it is, you know, when we get in a crisis, God, where are you? Where he's always been. He knows what you're in. But you see, here's what happens. I want you to look at one verse, and I want to show you something, because this shows us a great deal of ourselves. And the children of Israel had been talking to Moses, and they was wondering. Said, aren't there graves? Aren't there graves here? In other words, we've come here. Shall we die here in Egypt, or die here in this wilderness? And the Bible says, they listen to, they question. And look back at verse 11. Now watch what they're saying. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves, hast thou not taken us away to die in the wilderness? In other words, you've allowed us to come here. Are we going to die? Listen very carefully. God does not want you to worship him empty. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. Listen to me real carefully. We can thank God for being a provider. We can praise him for being a provider, being our deliverer. Let me ask you a question. When do you really praise God for being your deliverer? When you're in an intense situation and God rescues you, then you realize he's a deliverer to you. You see, here's the way God loves to do it with his people. Just like I love to show my love to my daughter, you love to show your love to your children. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think that God allows you situations in your life that you can't do anything with, you don't know anything about, so he can demonstrate to you in a personal way that he loves you? You're without income. You don't know what to do. You know, it's amazing when we get without income. We say, I just don't know what I'm going to do. The Bible says that, and my God shall supply all your need. Did he know you was going to be without a job? Yes. Did he know it was on its way? Yes. And you see, there is nothing in the heart of God that catches him off guard. As a matter of fact, you know, here's what he says. God said, told Moses, if thou wilt raise thy rod, stretch out thine hand, verse 16, divide it, the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, listen to me very carefully. We look at the Red Sea. We're fascinated by the Red Sea. It's amazing, the Red Sea. We forget one thing. The focus is not the Red Sea. The focus is this. God will move heaven and earth for those of his that belong to him. He will move heaven and earth if necessary for you and your life. You say, well, I just don't believe it. I guarantee you some of these people didn't either. Some of these, because they said, we're going to die. Do you realize God will do things just so he can show you afresh how it really is? You say, well, what all do I have to do? Just watch him. One of the things that I'm telling people more and more and more and more, you pray specifically, and then you watch. You watch what God does. You watch how God works for you. Why? Because, let me ask you a question. When you come to church and God shows you he loves you and he cares about you, don't you praise him that much more? Yes, you do. Don't you worship him that much better? Because he has revealed that, you know what, God, I know you love the world, but I just come to realize you love Benny Bush. You love Benny Bush in a special and personal way. And you will do whatever necessary in the crisis that I face in life to deliver out of intense situations. And that's exactly what God does. You know, one of the realities of crisis is this. God waits when everything looks hopeless. Now, let me ask you a question. If you was in the midst of this Israelite caravan, and if you was at the Red Sea, and you didn't know a thing about this story, what would you think would be the final epitaph? Would you expect supernatural deliverance? Listen to me real carefully. I want to say this to every one of us. We come to church, we sing the songs, we pray, we give. Let me tell you what we don't often do. We don't expect God to help us in mighty, mighty ways. Listen to the words we use. We get worried, we get scared, we get afraid. Listen, God says, I want you to know this day that I'm your Lord. I want you to know this day that I'm your God. That's why David kept writing and writing and writing psalm after psalm, because they were songs of praise. You know why? Because David couldn't praise God enough. Because God had shown his deliverance. God had rescued David from the lion, from the bear, from Saul, from so many different things, Absalom. And you see, the thing about it is, God loves to do it in your life and my life. You know, when everything seems helpless, when everything seems hopeless, stand back and watch God come to your rescue. Now listen to me real carefully. Listen to me very, very carefully. The children of Israel didn't have to get on their knees and beg and plead and cry, because God knew what was about ready to happen if he did not intervene. He knew the Israelites or the Egyptians were going to either kill them or take them back. God does not want his children in bondage. He wanted to set them free. And these Egyptians wanted to take them back and wanted them in bondage. And you see, the truth about it is, God wants his saints free. And you see, in this crisis in their life, crisis in your life, God wants you to learn fresh about him. You know, here's the sad reality. Think about how we are. Now, I want you to listen to me. In our short lives, whether it's be 50, 60, 70, 80 years, we think that we've learned all we can about infinite, holy, almighty, omnipotent, wonderful God. Think about it a minute. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Yet in 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever years, we think we've learned it all. Do you realize that part of your eternal life will be learning about the God that saved you? Learning who he is? You say, well, I'll be in heaven, I'll know. No, you won't know everything, because there's no one that knows everything and never will but God. You'll always be learning even in heaven. But you see, here's what God wanted these children. He said, when they got through on the other side, imagine this. They looked back and God defeated their enemies. God told Moses, he said, you look back, you'll never see them again. You'll never see them. And they looked back, and the Bible says the waters went together, and the dead bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore, according to Scripture. And they realized, watch, they didn't even have to lift a finger because God fought for them. Are you letting God fight for you in your crisis? Do you realize that's what God wants to do in your crisis? You let Him do all the fighting for you. Stop the manipulating if you are manipulating. Stop trying to figure out everything and just drop to your knees and say, Lord God, in this crisis that I'm in, I'm not going to try to figure anything out anymore. I'm not going to try to work anything out anymore. I quit. And I'm going to let you rescue your servant. And you know what He'll do? He will show you His infinite personal love. You say, now, I just have a struggle believing that. You know why? Because you don't know how much you're loved by Holy God. Because we don't really live in a world like that. We don't know a world like that. We can't comprehend of somebody moving heaven and earth for us. We can't comprehend somebody moving the whole world, if necessary. Say, Pastor, it's good to say that, but listen. Does the Bible say God has changed? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi says, I, the Lord God, change not. And what I love to think is this, Lord, if you did that for your people then, you'll do that for your servant. And so there's no need to fight. If you're in a crisis, you're losing something precious to you, maybe a job, finances, home, whatever. Stop fighting. You're in a situation you don't know what's going on. Listen. Maybe God speaks to your heart and He just says to you, stand back and watch the way I rescue you. You say, but what about a family member I love? Let me tell you one of the wonderful ways God rescues those that are hurting. Watch some of yours and some of my family as God rescues through taking them home. Rescues them out of the bondage of tattered bodies and broken bodies and aching and anxiety-ridden bodies, and He rescues them by taking them home. Where are you in your life this morning? You may find yourself in some crisis here. Listen, the Bible says God allows you the crisis for your good, for His glory. He says, I want to show you. You're so important to me, I'll fight for you. Now listen, if I could talk to every one of you just one at a time, I would say this. Do you understand that God loves you enough to fight on your behalf as you walk with Him? He will, and He has. That's who our God is. With every head bowed, every eye closed.